Peyton Hillis did play for the Cleveland Browns, but unfortunately for him and his team, his numbers were not as good as they've been of late, and Cleveland came up short. But you know what? It's been an interesting ride of late for Peyton Hillis, and I wanted to bring on somebody who covers the Browns a little bit. Tony Grossi has been kind enough to join us on the Rumble Revolution hotline from the Cleveland Plain Dealer to talk a little bit about Peyton Hillis's impact so far in the Browns. Tony, appreciate you coming in with us this morning. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning.
Good morning to you. So, tough day for the Browns. Came up a little bit short. Peyton did not put up the rushing numbers, but he's been such a big part of the passing game. And, you know, we're kind of hearing secondhand about the phenomenon of Peyton Hillis, and, of course, we've experienced it here in Arkansas. So, what, in your opinion, from what you've seen from the fan perspective, his teammates, his coaches, just talk about how he's sort of worked his way into the Cleveland Browns area and the team and all that.
Well, he's becoming, you know, an instant fan favorite. Cleveland falls head over heels for running backs, and they've done that with Peyton. His two back, you know, back-to-back 100-yard games against Baltimore and Cincinnati, and his running style is just blue-collar, worth ethic, his humility, his, you know, he just comes across as a guy that a Cleveland fan would embrace. And you mentioned yesterday he didn't have the numbers. Well, he was hurt. He played, he left the game two different times with by aggravating an injury that he suffered on Thursday at practice. And his value to the team is such, I mean, it's both a compliment to him and a statement about the Browns' lack of offense, because with Peyton not, you know, 100 yards, the Browns have nothing else to fall back on, and that's what happened yesterday.
How competitive does this team expect to be? I mean, with what they've got in place right now, and, you know, I'm looking at the quarterback situation too, and, you know, Seneca Wallace has been, you know, not overly impressive, but he's been pretty efficient. Of course, DeLome took a lot of the snaps yesterday, but, you know, just talk about what's a reasonable expectation for this team, in your opinion, in the way that, and of course, the North is an extremely tough division.
Well, the problem now is both of those guys are hurt, Wallace and DeLome. Wallace left the game at halftime. If he had not gotten hurt, and he got he may have suffered the same injury that DeLome's been hobbled with, a high ankle sprain. We'll know more later today. But they were you know, they were ahead 7-6. Hill, you know, he threw a nice little lob pass to Hillis, who scored a touchdown on it, and the defense was playing tough. But then Wallace gets hurt, and they bring in DeLome, who still is not fully recovered from his high ankle sprain, and the Falcons just, you know, overwhelmed the Browns in the pass rush, and that game was still winnable in the fourth period, even though DeLome was hobbling around. But they have to get a healthy quarterback in order to have any reasonable expectations. They play every game tough. They're the essence of a team. There's no hero on this team. They're all, you know, together, but they just don't have enough firepower to beat teams.
You mentioned, you know, kind of the love affair with running backs in Cleveland. Just talk about how, you know, you feel like Peyton sort of fits into that and, you know, what you've seen. I'm sure you've had an opportunity to see him react with or interact, rather, with some fans and whatnot. Just talk about what you've seen from him, you know, maybe even away from the field a little bit.
Yeah, you know, he obviously comes from a part of the country that's unfamiliar to the Midwest. And his little twang there is kind of endearing, and it's just the humbleness that he has. He's always talking about team and teammates. And foremost, though, for that love affair is his style. I mean, he just is straight ahead, inflicting punishment. He knocked two of the Bengals out who were trying to tackle him. One of them's, you know, out for 4 weeks, and the other one missed yesterday's game for Cincinnati just from collisions with Peyton Hillis. Mm-hmm. So that kind of, you know, I mean, the Browns tradition started with a guy named Marion Motley carrying the ball, and even though that was 60 years ago, people still, generations have heard about Marion Motley. So That's where the running back, and of course Jim Brown after that. So that's why when Cleveland fans see a guy just knocking people over, that's the, you know, the quickest way to their heart is that kind of style.
Tony Grossi joining us from the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Let me ask you, totally off topic here, but about the departure of LeBron James and, you know, just how the city, I guess, is sort of, now that we're a little bit removed from that, now that he's down in Miami, you guys are moved on. I mean, what's sort of the feeling around all that now? People sort of put it out of their minds, or is it something that still comes up on a regular basis?
Oh, no, because you know what? LeBron was the only hope of the three sports franchises here. I mean, the Cavs were like on the doorstep to a championship only because of LeBron. When LeBron left, you know, they kind of passed the torch to the Browns, and there were high expectations, not for a championship this year, but for noticeable, you know, turning the corner. And when they came out and lost their first two games, very winnable games, you know, it's back to the woe is me thing. So the reason Cleveland still talks about be, you know, ongoing as he makes his two visits here this year, he just represented the hope of somehow Cleveland winning his first championship since 1964. And when he turned his back on the city, it was a cold towel that still is hurting.
What did you think of the owner Dan Gilbert's open letter to? I guess it was an open letter to the fans at Cleveland, but it seemed like he was really talking to LeBron in a way.
Yeah, that was wow. That was the most unbelievable thing I've heard a team owner or executive do. Those statements were very harsh, and I think he does regret them now. They were from his heart, and he let the emotions get the better of him. And you know, I fear when LeBron comes in here, I think it's sometime in December, with the Miami Heat, Wilt Chamberlain's 100-point record will be in jeopardy, because I think LeBron will be ultra motivated, and he's capable of doing something like that if he's got enough motivation.
So does he get booed, cheered?
I just hope it doesn't get ugly. He will be booed, and it will only spur him on, I'm afraid.
Well, you just better hope that Ron Artest doesn't end up in Miami before then, because then goodness only knows what could go wrong if people start acting wrong.
I dread that first visit, because knowing Cleveland as I do, it's going to be ugly.
Last thing here, Tony, Ohio State moves to number one in the new poll with Alabama losing over the weekend. We haven't had a chance to get into that yet, but how big of an impact does Ohio State have on the Cleveland community? Are you guys solely focused on pro football?
No, because this is the second biggest Ohio State market in Ohio to Columbus, not only because of the alumni, but because Jim Tressel is a Cleveland guy, Youngstown, and you know, his father was a noted coach in a small college here in Cleveland. And not only that, but you know, if you can't have a championship in professional sports, we'll take one in college football. And they're, you know, they've been knocking on the door. They've been in the big game more times than any other college in the last five or 6 years. So yeah, it's a big Ohio State market for all of those reasons.
Well, we're pulling for the Indians, if that's any consolation. So
why don't you just poke me in the eye with another stick?
Yeah, I'm a Cubs fan. I got nothing to brag about, my friend. I feel your pain, so hang in there.
All right, we will carry on.
All right, well, maybe we'll hit
that Arkansas quarterback. Any way you could steer him here?
Yeah, hey, listen, I'd be all about it. I'm sure he could do worse than having Massacoy as a target and having Peyton running around back there with him. So, I mean, there are worse settings for him probably in the NFL. Anywhere but Oakland, we're rooting for.
Yeah, well, I think the Browns right now are formulating, or have to be formulating, some kind of strategy to collect enough draft picks to be able to move up to get their guy, because they cannot flounder around any longer with what they got.
Yeah, well, we're working to draft Ryan Mallett to come back to Arkansas for one more year. But if not, yeah, that wouldn't be too bad. We could take him being in Cleveland. That's a reasonably close location for us. So anyway,
right.
Tony, appreciate the time today. Thank you so much.
Very good. Take care, guys.
All right, see you later.
Bye-bye.